نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 16th day of Ramadan, 1433 Hijri, in brackets the 4th day of August 2012. And we are starting a new surah, Surah Al-Anfal, the spoils of war. Let's have the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الأنفال، قل الأنفال لله والرسول، فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا، لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة ورزق كريم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is Surah Al-Anfal. The name Anfal means the spoils of war. If the Muslim army goes out for a military expedition, what it gets as a booty is also called Al-Anfal. One is called An-Nafl. In this chapter, is chapter number 8, revealed in Medina, so it's a Medina surah. The chapters of Medina have some characteristics that if you look at them, you recognize them from the Meccan revelations. The Medina surahs tend to be longer. Yeah, and usually when you hear Alladhina Amanu, Amanu, it's the Medina surah. But An-Nas, Ya Ayuhan Nas, usually are Meccan surahs. Even though there is an area in Baqarah that says Ya Ayuhan Nas. And Baqarah, we know, is a Medina surah. The beginning of Surah to An-Nisa, chapter number 4, starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nas, and it is Medina surah. Okay, minus these few instances. Otherwise, generally, any chapter starting with Ya Ayyuhan Nas is known, is recognized, is marked to be a Meccan what surah. Among other things to be said, when you are looking for the distinguishing features of Medina and Mecca surah, Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. They ask you, O Allah's Messenger, on Al-Anfal. They are asking you, what is the fate, what is the position of Al-Anfal, war spoils. All tell them, Al-Anfal lillahi wa rasul. They are for Allah and the messenger. How? Meaning, after the war, if the war has been fought and won, the spoils should be left to the decisions of Allah and the messenger. That is the meaning. Not that Allah wants to do what with it. أُولِي الْأَنْفَالُ اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Tell them Al-Anfal belongs to Allah and to the Messenger. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, keep your duties to Allah. وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ, and reconcile what is in between you. Reconciliation here is emphasized, is mentioned, is given a mention. If there is any problem, any trouble amongst the Ummah, there should be reconciliatory steps to be taken to normalize the estranged hitherto relationship between the couples, between the families, between the people living in a society. If there is need for reconciliation, Allah says, وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, obey Allah and the Messenger, إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are true believers. So you can see in just single verse, many things mentioned. First, we have been made to know the legal status of war spoils. If after going for a war, things like this have been gotten or realized, leave Allah and the Messenger to decide. That is, they are for Allah and the Messenger. And then fear Allah, and then reconcile between amongst yourself if there is anything causing trouble, and then obey Allah and the Messenger if only you are true believers. Next verse.
إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the only believers, all the believers exclusively in the eyes of Allah are the ones with the following qualities. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. If Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble with fear. Until I am like this, your iman is put into a question. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The only believers are those, if Allah is mentioned, is remembered, they are qulub. Qulub is the plural form of qalbu. Qalbu means the heart. So they are qulub, tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, when his verses are rehearsed to their hearing, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Allahu Akbar. They increase their iman. This tells you that iman gets increased and also get decreased. There are some people who claim the iman is never increased nor decreased, and this ayah renders their argument nothing to be considered. Definitely the iman has the chances of being increased and the chances of being decreased. Somebody, as an example, reading the Quran constantly, and somebody who doesn't pay attention to it, their iman cannot be understood to be the same. Someone keeping away from zina, from alcohol, from narcotics, from cannot be the same with somebody who indulges in doing things like this. Somebody who maintains prayers congregationally is not as someone who plays with prayer. Someone obeying his parents, doing what is good to them, is not the same as somebody, a'udhu billah, insulting the parents. Definitely the iman can be increased, it can as well be what? Decreased. So the ayah is clear. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they rely on their Lord. They put their trust in Allah. Such are the believers. Not only that, another quality or other attribute are mentioned in the subsequent ayah. Allah says, الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم نعم ينفقون. They are those who establish the prayer. ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. And out of what we have provided them, they spend. They spend their wealth out of Allah's provision. And when they spend willingly, not as if they are compelled or coerced or forced. If you spend and it is as if you are compelled to do so, you have little chances of having a reward. Yeah, give willfully, give willingly, give out of comfort, because you know the one to whom you give records things for you. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Whatever you spend is going to be recorded, is going to be paid back to you. You will never be wrong in the list. So why do you give grumbling? Why do you spend your naira, your whatever, grumbling? The expectation is you give and you take pleasure in the behavior of giving. You will be saying, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We provide you for the sake of Allah, not expecting any thanking from you or anything to be given in appreciation. Because the one for whom sake we do knows what we do, and he records everything done for us. So such believers are those who establish prayers. They don't play with 5 daily congregational prayers. Not only that, they even do supererogative prayers. Apart from Subh, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, they offer Salat al-Duha. They offer Qiyam al-Layl. 8 rakat with 3 units witr. 11, according to the riwayah of Aisha. Okay, radiyallahu anha. And similarly, Sunan al-Rawatib. So they establish the prayers, the obligatory and the supererogative prayers. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend out of what we have given them, provided for them. Next verse.
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ.
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. أُولَٰئِكَ this set of people are the true believers. Look at the ayah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These categories of believers or people are the مُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا, in the truest form of being a believer. everyone would like to be somebody that Allah qualifies as al-mu'min al-haq. Alaysa kadhalik? Lahum darajatun 'inda rabbihim. And they have grades of position with their Lord. Wa maghfiratun, and forgiveness. Wa rizqun kareem, and honorable provision. Because a rizq is what Allah provides for you. But when Allah says rizqun kareem in the hereafter, automatically it means the paradise and Allah's endorsement, Allah's pleasure. Next.
كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون.
Now basically this chapter Al-Anfal talks about the battle of Badr. So now it begins analyzing what took place that time. It starts by saying كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون. Verse number 5. كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق. Just as how your Lord took you out of your house in truth. وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون. But a party amongst the believers disliked it. Allah says, remember, when I asked you to leave your house, your area, your dwelling, to go for the war of Badr, even though some part of the believers didn't like it, they were, you know, kind of developing some cold feet, hesitant because of the tactics of the war. But Allah said, go out. Since He said, go out, there is no point for anybody to remain behind. Now,
يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون.
يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون. They were disputing with you, يا رسول الله, concerning the truth. Now, after it had become clear, as if they were being pushed to the death, whereas they see, meaning they were denying or they were disputing with you concerning the truth, meaning going out for the war became imminent, but they were arguing with you as if they were afraid of going to the battlefield or to die, as if they see. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse tells the believers what happened that time, that the Sahabas radiallahu anhum were having their views, their argument concerning going out for the war. But you don't have any view to present when the revelation came down. Some did not know then it was Allah's revelation until it was made clear, and each and every one of them suspended and left and withdrew from his argument. The Prophet said, okay, we are going. But still, it has to be recounted, to be said, to be explained for the subsequent generation to know what took place. Maintaining the position of the Sahaba is an intact position of honor, integrity, piety, God consciousness, obedience, subordination, and the like. Next verse.
وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ
وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. To the end of the verse. وَإِذْ مُتَعَلِّقُمْ بِيَئِدُكُمْ. Remember when your Lord, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you إِحْدَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ, one of the two parties, أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ, that it is going to be your own. But وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غِرَ السَّوْكَ تَكُونَ لَكُمْ, but you are hoping the one that you will easily get without any difficulty, you wish it to be your own. ويريد الله أن يحق الحق بكلماته ويقطع دابر الكافرين. But Allah's plan was to demolish or to establish the truth by His word and to cut off the bedrock of the believers. You see, when the battle of Badr came up, there was Al-Badr al-Sughra and Al-Kubra, Al-Ghazw al-Kubra. So the commercial caravan of the Quraysh were returning from Sham or Syria, and the Prophet sent some people to intercept them, because if their commercial activities were intercepted, that meant a blow on them, on the enemy camps. So the Sahaba were interested in that one instead of going to face a fight, some. But Allah said, no, forget about this. Allah had a plan, wanted to destroy the unbelievers, and you are the apparatus used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they all obeyed, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Allah says this, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غِرَتْ تَكُونَ لَكُمْ وَيُرِدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Next verse.
لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ.
لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. In order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes the truth and demolishes what is falsehood. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. No matter how hateful it will be to the criminals. Next verse.
إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُنِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدَفِينَ.
إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. Here. Or murdafin. What's the difference? What is the difference between two schools of recitation? He recited differently from what is in your book. You look at your Quran. In Sustan Rabukum, Fastajaba lakum anni mumiddukum bi alfin min al malaikati mur. Look at it. Is it murdi or murda? He recited murdafin. What's the difference? Murdafin is ism al-maf'ul. Murdifin is ism al-fa'il mawsuf. Both of the recitations are accepted. Allah said, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. Remember, when we are asking for your Lord's intervention, that is تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. And your Lord responded to your request, telling you through your prophet, أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. That I am going to give you reinforcement of 1,000 angels murdifin, descending successively. That happened in the battle of Badr, because the angels did come down. The angels came down, they descended. They partook and participated in the military expedition against the unbelievers. So Allah tells them, look at my bounties and gifts and favors unto you during that encounter. Next ayah.
وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ.
نعم.
وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ.
وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Verse number 10. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى. Allah did not make it happen so, but as a source of glad tidings, because bushra means good news. tidings, which is good. So Allah gave you this, sent this number of angels as a means of gladdening your heart, maintaining your iman as a bushra. Not only that, وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ, so that your heart will be comfortable, your heart could be at rest. And وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, succor, triumph, success come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ, certainly Allah Aziz is majestic, is irresistible, Hakim, all wise. Allah is Aziz, He cannot be resisted, He is Hakim, the all wise. Next verse.
إِذْ يُغْشِيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِّيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامَ.
إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِّيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامَ. إِذْ, remember, when even slumber overtook you, they were in the battlefield and they were seized by light sleeping, slumber, to tell you the bounty of Allah was so manifest and clear that in such a dangerous place they were even having this kind of sleep. Allah said, if not because of my bounty, how could you have slept lightly? Okay, that time. But remember, when even a light sleep took you or overtook you, amanatan min, as a means of security given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Wa yunzilu alaykum min as-sama'i ma'an liyutahhirakum bihi. And Allah brought down rainfall from the sky in order to cleanse and purify you. Wa yudhhibu ankum rijza ash-shaytan, and He took away from you the rijz of ash-shaytan, the dirt of the Satan, the impurity that you have been afflicted with by the Satan. Wa liyarbit ala qulubikum, and then for Allah to strengthen your heart. وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ, and make your feet firmly firm. All these took place during the Battle of Badr. And if I may ask you, out of the wars fought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of such wars did he participate in? And how many that he didn't participate, instead he deputized people to go? I'm asking a question. It's part of my method, I ask. How many of such wars did he participate? Personally, physically, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how much of such wars didn't go? He sent. While waiting for the answer, the second question comes. The ones he participated are known what? The ones he didn't are known what? While waiting for the second answer, the third question comes. What was the number of the Muslims during the Battle of Badr? While waiting for the third answer, the fourth comes. Okay, the answer has arrived. Beautiful. The first, second, or third? Answer. Why not the first? Okay, come on. Ghazwa. Sariya Saraya, beautiful. Jazakallah khair. But why did he jump the first one? Yes, brother. Naam? I beg your pardon? Or the third question? The first one, uncle. The first one, uncle. I mean, what about the first question? Is this too hard? What did I say concerning the first question? What did I say? Yes, Salah. I can't believe it that you don't know the answer. You know. You have just been hesitant and reluctant, you know. What did I say concerning the first question? What did I say? Yeah, how many battles did he fight? How many ghazawat? 27. How many saraya? 47. That should be taken. That should be written. That should be documented. That should be known. I keep on saying, knowledge is written down. Knowledge is written down as a way of preserving it. You preserve your cow, your animal, otherwise it runs away. The same thing goes for learning. The ulama say, ma kutiba qarra, wa ma hufidha farra. Another question. After the battle of Badr, which one came after? Yes. Uhud. Badr took place in the year. Yes, Salam. In the second year of Hijrah, Battle of Badr took place. Uhud took place third year of Hijrah. Al-Ahzab, fifth year of Hijrah. Now, this surah, like I have said, talks essentially about the encounter of Badr. Okay? إذ يغشيكم النعاس أمنة من وينزل عليكم من السماء ماء ليطهركم به ويذهب عنكم رجز الشيطان وليربط على قلوبكم ويثبت به الأقدام. Next verse Allah says
إذ يوهي ربك إلى الملائكة أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا فألقي في قلوب الذين كفروا الرعب فاضربوا فوق الأعناق واضربوا منهم كل بنان.
إذ يوحي ربك إلى الملائكة أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا سألقي to the end of the verse. You see, if carefully you have looked at the ayah, it keeps on using the style of is. The first place such a way of a revelation occurred is in verse number 7, where is ya'idukum. The subsequent one says is tastaghithun. Again, is yughashikum. Again, is yuhi rabbuk. To tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recounting to the Prophet and the Ummah generally about the successive bounties that Allah gives. When I. So Allah said here, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. When your Lord sent revelation to the angels, saying, أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ, I shall be with you. فَثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Try and keep the believers rooted. That's the فَثَبِّتُ. فَثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the believers, try and confirm them, make them firm. سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ. I will cast in the heart of the unbelievers a fear, that is a rub. فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْعَنَاكِ. You should smite them through their necks. وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانِ. All part of their own hands, the fingers should also be beaten. It's a kind of war mechanisms, war strategies. Next verse.
ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله ومن يشاقق الله ورسوله فإن الله شديد العقاب
ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله ومن يشاقق الله ورسوله فإن الله شديد العقاب. Here is a question on Tajweed. He says ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله. What is the name of this kind of elongation? شَاقُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. This is known what? What is the name of this kind of al-mad in the ulama tajweed? One, two, so very easy question, mashallah. Yes, brother. المد اللازم الكلمي المثقل. Excellent. It is called المد اللازم الكلمي المثقل or المد المثقل اللازم الكلمي depending on how you choose it. Okay, what does that mean? Because it's a big vocabulary. It's a jawbreaker. What is the meaning of المد اللازم المثقل الكلمي? Any further clarification? Yeah, we have the name. That is the name given to it. But what does that mean? It is a kind of necessary elongation bordering on the terms, on the words. And it is done in an extended form. With how many alif? 3 alif. And how many extension, elongation, drawal? 6. Because each and every alif carries how many elongation? 2. So you say, as you have heard, ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله. Okay? Like والصافات فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى. There are many instances like this. It is called المد اللازم المثقل الكلمي. Okay. This is because they have been at variance, okay, with Allah and the Messenger. That is شاقوا. They dissented from Allah and the Messenger. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever argues or dissents from Allah and His Messenger, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Allah is very severe in retribution. That's the meaning there. Or Allah is very severe in punishment. شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Naam. Can we go further? Can we go further or wait? Okay. Naam. So, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. That has been translated next verse. ذلكم فضوكم ذلكم فضوكم وأن للكافرين عذاب النار. That is as a way for you to test it. That is test the chastisement, test the punishment of Allah. For Allah is شديد العقاب. Allah is very severe in punishment. ذلكم فذوق وأن الكافرين أذاب النار. For the unbelievers shall be the punishment of the hellfire. Next verse.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم الذين كفروا زحفا فلا تولوهم الأدبار.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم الذين كفروا زحفا فلا تولوهم الأدبار. Now, the Quran, the style now, draws our attention to what we call war strategy. When you reach the battlefield, Islam teaches the believers to be committed and to be battle ready, never to run away. That is why he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ. Or you believe, when you come into contact with the unbelievers face to face, فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ, don't give them your back. Meaning, don't run away. Don't you ever run away. And you know, according to the maybe present war strategy, a general does not run away from his what? Lieutenant. If he does, he will be shot at. So Allah says, when you face the war, when you face the enemy, do not give the enemy your back. Meaning, don't run away. That's the meaning of the ayah here. Next verse, Allah says,
متحرفا للقتال او متحجبا الى فئه فقد باء بغضب من الله وماواه جهنم وبئس المصير.
ومن يولهم يومئذ دبره الا متحرفا لقتال او متحيزا الى فئه فقد باء بغضب من الله وماواه جهنم وبئس المصير. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوَلِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دُبُرَهُ. Whoever turns his back, he gives his back to the enemies, then إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أَوْ مُتَحَيِّزًا إِلَى فِئَةٍ, except he does it out of war tactics. مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ, he wants to display the war tactic. Or mutahizun ila fi'atin, or he wants to go to one path, leaving these to these, or what they call tactical withdrawal, except he has given the enemy his back out of tactics of the war. But if anybody does it, faqad ba'a bi ghadabin min Allah, he has earned Allah's anger, Allah's wrath. Wa mawahu jahannam, his place of abode shall be Jahannam, وَبِيْسَ الْمَصِيرِ, and evil is the place of abode if Jahannam becomes such for such a man, or such a people. Now,
فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ.
نعم.
وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَى وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى
فلم تقتلوهم ولكن الله قتلهم وما رميت إذ رميت ولكن الله رمى. To the end of the verse, Allah says, فلم تقتلوهم, you didn't kill them, O Allah's Messenger. It is not you that killed, that conquered the unbelievers. Okay, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ, they were uprooted, they were conquered, they were demolished by Allah, not you. And وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, when you use your apparatus, your spear to send to them, you didn't do that, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that did it. That is وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. And this is so in order to try the believers a good trial. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is all hearing and alim, Allah is all knowing. Next verse. ذلكم وأن الله موهن أو موهن في الحال ذلك بأن الله موهن كيد الكافرين. This is so because Allah is the one to destroy the evil plans of the unbelievers. Next verse. إن تستفتحوا فقد جاءكم الفتح. نعم. وإن تنتهوا فإن تنتهوا فخير لكم. وإن تعودوا نعود ولن تغني عنكم فئتكم شيئا ولو كثرت وأن الله مع المؤمنين. الله says إن تستفتحوا فقد جاءكم الفتح. Oh you who believe, if you had asked for Allah's victory, the victory has already come to you. But as for the unbelievers, وَإِن تَنْتَوْا فَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, if you have stopped doing what you are doing, that will be better for you. وَإِن تَعُودُوا نَعُودْ, if you go back to disbelief, we go back to punishing you. Okay? That is وَإِن تَعُودُوا نَعُودْ وَلَنْ تُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا. Your group, your properties, your number will never save you anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should know وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah is constantly with the believing people. For Allah, make us be the believing people so that we earn your togetherness always. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Next verse. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون. Or you who believe, أطيعوا الله, obey Allah and obey the messenger. نعم, أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون. Don't turn away your faces from him while you know that that is an act of disobedience to Allah. So it talks about the importance of obeying Allah and the Messenger. Allah keeps on saying أطيعوا الله, أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون. Next verse, which is the place where we are going to stop inshallah, because the place is very strategic for stopping. Next verse. ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعناهم لا يسمعون. Don't be like those who pretend to have heard the message, to have heard the Quran being recited, وهم ويراس لا يسمعون. They didn't hear. They claim to hear, but they don't hear. So don't be like such a people. You listen to the Quran as if you listen, but unfortunately it passes from here to here without taking it into practical implementation. That is the message here. Don't say, or don't be like those who claim to have heard, but in actual sense they have not heard actually. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now with the question and answer session. Yes. It's haram. A pocket-sized Quran was put at the back of a brother. That is a mark of irresponsibility. It's a mark of irresponsibility. It's a mark of absence of consciousness. Quran at your back pocket. What do you mean? No. That is haram. May Allah forgive us. Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. In chapter 18, they ask you concerning the identity of this man called ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. Allah says, I will rehearse to your hearing something concerning his mention. But what is the true identity of this historical personality? Some say Dhulqarnayn is Alexander the Great. Some say he was King Darius. But some said no, he could not have been Alexander the Great. Because Alexander the Great lived in the former and the old Greek mythology. And he was known to be an unbeliever, a mushrik. He was the student of Plato. Plato studied under Socrates. Socrates under Aristotle. And all these people are known, I believe, to have been unbelievers. So it couldn't be that person who was idolatry and, you know, a bloody conqueror, killing, maiming, destroying, desecrating. The Dhulqarnayn of the Quran was saintly and pious, God-fearing. So I am putting it to you that that person could not be the person people have been talking about. It's a different person, different identity that we have. And could not be either Darius. He must have been somebody God-fearing and has an element of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cannot rush to an inconclusive conclusion by saying he was Alexander the Great. This is my position on this identity, on this person. Wallahu ta'ala a'alam wa bihi at-tawfiq. Now. Between? How can you distinguish, how can you differentiate between profit and usury? We all know Allah says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ بَتْ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah makes legal commercial transaction, but riba remains forbidden. Profit, any increase you realize out of legally recognized commercial transactions. I bought this product for 2,000 naira. You want to buy it? Yes, okay. Give me 3,000 naira. That 1,000 naira is a good example of what? Profit. My CP, cost price, 2,000 naira. But my SP selling price is 3,000 naira. I am after 1,000 naira. That is a typical example of what is a profit. Is that clear? But you came to me. Please, hey, Muhammad, sell this to me. He said, okay, I'm going to sell to you. But I have no money. Not a single kobo on me. I say, okay, take it on credit. If you are buying it now, cash down, take it 3,000 naira. But if it is at the end of the month, give me 5,000 naira. Because of the delay, you have benefited in the delay. That is riba. I wonder if you get it well. Because you are getting the increment because of the delay you have enjoyed. This is called riba nasi'ah, the riba of delay. That is one example. The second example is, please give me one tuber of yam. One tuber of yam that is from Kano. And I am going to give you, okay, give me two tuber. And I'll give you one produced in Mina, or Latia, or Boko, for example. Same product, but because of the variety of the origin, the place of production, you are getting one increase, that is riba. I don't know if it is clear. I loan you, I give you 20,000 naira as a loan. When you pay me back, I ask you, since you are taking my loan, when you pay me back, pay me 2,500 naira. That 500 is riba. Somebody says, I'm just giving you instances, somebody says, take this 1,000 naira new from CBN, the odor of the mint on your nose, 1,000 new, brand new nose. But you give me 1,200 naira. For what? And because I'm giving you new one, you know, when you go to the village, when they see new money, they will respect you. Because of that, it's a benefit. So give me from them. That is riba. Because 1,000 naira new and the old one have the same purchasing power and capacity. Or are you telling me when you go to the market, just because you have new 1,000 naira, they will say, oh, Rankadali, you're welcome. Because of this new, take it. Give 1,000 naira and take 1,500 naira worth of commodity. Will they behave like this? Are they mad? They are not. So these are just few examples and instances of riba. There's riba nasi'a, riba al-fadl, and riba al-muzabana. And I don't know if it is clear to you. I have to ask. And I'm asking you, if somebody buys this one at 2,000 naira and he sells it courtesy market forces on his side, he sells it at 10,000 naira, is it riba or profit? I'm asking you. He bought it 2,000 naira and he sold it 10,000 naira. Profit of 8,000 naira. Is it lawful? Is it riba or riba? Don't be afraid now. Tell me the answer. The only thing, if you tell me, I will ask you reason for that. Is it riba or usury? I want to tell you, it is not usury. It's not riba. It is profit. But a condemnable profit. Why reason? The ulama say the system to be used in determining what makes profit legal or illegal is the convention of the people. If by the convention, if the people believe that yes, by selling this 10,000 naira is okay. If going by the convention is okay, it is okay. But if people say it is haram, it is haram. That is view number one. The second view says, the profit to any commodity must not be more than one third of the original CP. I don't know if it is clear. They are saying the profit should not go beyond 1/3 of the CP. Now, I bought this 9,000 naira. They are saying you shouldn't sell it more than 12,000 naira. Because 12,000 naira, you have 3,000 naira, and it is one third of the original CP, according to you. The jurists have debated on this issue, scholastically and academically. But it is much better for you to be somebody who is contented. Don't go for maximization of profit. Try to be moderate, try to be modest, try to be honest, try to be contented and merciful. That is the answer. I don't know if I have explained to you and you are able to know the difference between what is profit and what is what? Usury. Finally, Allah has warned against taking usury. Allah says, give me the ayah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا These two verses are in Baqarah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون وإن كان ربو غصرا. Subsequent verse. Allah says, O Yahudi, stop taking riba for our cycle. So one scholar says, oh, the main reason why the Muslim Ummah is facing difficulty is that they are fighting Allah. This is very clear. You take riba, you know, like this. And this riba comes in different forms. At times in a tactical, in a certain way, people do it. They take riba at times without even your knowledge. People, for example, will ask you, bring me 20,000 naira and I will be giving you fixed profit. Fixed? Why fixed? Why the fixing? Ask yourself, did you consult the Quran and Sunnah before that? Not only that, I will give you this money, later I will give you increments. These are some of the instances that we should be very, very careful. Not in our own way to make money, we become blind, we will crash land. May Allah preserve and protect all of us. Any questions remaining? Something pleasant to hear. It is something unpleasant and something horrific and something mentally torturing. It pictures a kind of a mental trauma. It is traumatizing to hear something just narrated, let alone becoming a reality. If such a thing happens, أعوذ بالله, نعوذ بالله, نعوذ بالله, إيادة, إيادة, one is compelled to commit such a heinous crime. It depends on the iman of the person involved. someone will rather die do what? It is kill and kill. Kill and remain, you don't die. You are going to the hellfire, quite sure. Someone will tell you this. But someone will say, no. I have an ayah. Allah says, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شره بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله. Those who disbelieve after iman, except such that have been compelled. Say, okay, look at it. Compelled. I have been compelled against my will. There is not any pleasure whatsoever to be driven out of the heinous act. Compelled, the sins are recorded against the intruder. It's against him. But for him, he has been compelled. I am telling you, there are two schools of thought, depending on one's iman. Now, according to the view of Al-Imam, if I cannot forget, either Ahmad or Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i or Ahmad, I have forgotten, saying if, as an example, somebody is cornered by a necessity, you cannot come across something lawful to eat, but a dead animal, dead big carrion, you either eat from the dead flesh or you die. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, Jazakallah khair rahmatullah alayh, if you refuse to eat, you die, you go to the hellfire. Because the same Allah saying no is the same saying yes to you at these circumstances, okay? Because there is al-ikrah. Sheikh Nasir al-Sa'adi in his beautiful stanzas on Usul al-Fiqh, he says what? وَلَيْسَ وَاجِبٌ بِالَاقْتِدَارِ وَلَا مُحَرَّمٌ مَعَطِّرَارِ. There is nothing called compulsory if there is absence of ability. You can't tell me go for Hajj, I don't have money. And there is no issue of saying something is haram if there is a compelling reason. I have been compelled against my will. I'm only telling you there could be this argument taking place. But it depends ultimately on the degree of iman and perception. May Allah, out of your infinite mercy, preserve us against such a nasty thing. Now to the answer. It had happened. And the unfortunate lady is now 3 months pregnant. You said it. Now, the issue of aborting the unwanted pregnancy is not wholesome. The child becomes that of a necessity. It is a non-fact. Jurisprudentially speaking, you cannot marry the sister of your wife at a time. Isn't it? Allah says, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. You cannot combine two sisters simultaneously except on issues of the bygone days. And now in this case, he committed such a thing out of compulsion with a lady not lawful for him, not his wife. And she took in, she conceived. The child should be allowed to be given birth to, even though it is unbearable. Because if you abort it, you are inflicting another harm on a created entity. Maybe it becomes somebody next tomorrow. You do not know. The situation is not a welcome idea. I don't support the idea of abortion. I don't. Even though when it happens, some people go and do it out of compulsion, out of the attendant ignominy to characterize the life of the born child. So I am saying the child should not be aborted. Allah has decreed it. This is called al-qadar su, a bad decree. And Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. We shall try you by bad and good destinies. So we accept this is bad. The only thing is that when he is born, he will be looked at as the son of this man. How? It should be explained. This is what happened. I cannot be your father. I am biologically, but spiritually, no. No inheritance. So because of these things, people begin to think, hey, we cannot tolerate it. Let him just be aborted and chicken and become person. So it is a it's an issue that is a very, very nagging issue. Very, very nagging. So my fatwa is that he should not be killed. He should be tolerated. Wait for Allah's decision. If anybody tells you, go and abort it, for reasons they give you better, that is his own part of the story. That's what I have told you. Wallahu a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وتولنا فيمن توليت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من كيد الكائنين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شر الأشرار وفجور الفجار يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك نسألك من حسن القضاء وعيش السعداء وحب الأتقياء والبعد عن الأشقياء والنصر على الأعداء ومرافقة الأنبياء إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.